Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 7, 2019. Everything from one thought, and back again. There is nothing but one thought, the thought of creation, which includes everything. Only we, the created beings, still do not understand and feel it. But we exist within this thought and are governed by it. All our work takes place inside of it. This thought is the whole creation, its plan, and there is nothing other than it. Everything is resolved in thought, and everything is created by thought. There is no matter, all of reality is included in the thought. It is interesting that modern scientists, being absolute materialists, say that the universe is a thought. Researchers of the human brain claim that all our thoughts, desires, and decisions are outside of a person and that the brain is only a device that captures this thought and transfers it to us. Thus, science is gradually approaching this fact that Kabbalists discovered a long time ago. There is nothing in the universe except for the thought of creation and we exist inside of it. Although we divide reality into forces, matter, feelings, and reason, in essence, only the Creator's thought, within which we exist, operates. We need to attain this thought of the Creator in relation to the created being and then we will attain Him, not Him Himself, but His attitude toward the created being. It is only this very thought that exists. All the various opposite properties that we feel are meant to reveal the depth and the uniqueness of this thought. There is none else besides Him, but we attain this fact from the opposite. From the numerous actions and manifestations of the Creator in relation to us, which are very diverse and contradictory. It is precisely all these paradoxes and discrepancies, which are preventing us from realizing what is happening and from agreeing with it, that push us to such a development that by combining all the contradictions above reason, we attain the Creator. It is impossible to attain Him other than from the two opposites that combine together and complete each other. From the Creator's side, the potential action, called the thought, is enough. For the Creator, the end of the action is in the initial thought, that is, the uncorrected and corrected state of the created being exist together, creating a black dot called the created being. The rest is the development of this dot and its self-awareness, and from its self-awareness to the awareness of the Creator in order to understand where it came from, who created it, and who is developing it. It is like a movie rolling inside this dot. All of us, the whole universe, all the worlds are in it. The attitude of the Creator, the upper light, is called the thought of creation. Therefore, there is only one thought from which the entire universe emerged, the thought of creation. It already defines all our rewards, our efforts, and everything we experienced on the way. From the side of the Creator, there is nothing bigger than this thought. But we, the created beings, are able to attain it only when we separate from Him and begin to act independently. Inside this thought, other additional thoughts appear, the four Bihinat, phases, the parts Sufim, the worlds. We study what in practice comes out of the black dot, which potentially includes the entire thought of the Creator, the entire process that was initially invested there. From the first part of the daily Kabbalah lesson, the 20th of August 2019, there is none else besides Him. New Life Number 1147. The Power of Mothers to Change the World.
Hello and thanks for being with us on the New Leaf Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to better understand our need for support from our environment. This is a deeply felt need, and we'll try to better understand it on our way to a new life. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah. I think that today we're experiencing a very non-simple reality. Many of the supporting systems that we used to have are simply disappearing. Even kindergartens that we're supposed to trust, that are supposed to protect our children, we can no longer trust them. All of these systems that were supposed to make up for the community that a person used to live in the past are disappearing. And people, and mothers in particular, find themselves in a state of stress. And therefore, we'd like to talk about our natural need for support, specifically in this very individualistic era where everyone tries to make it on their own. And I think that what we're finding out is that what we're lacking is support, and especially from the people that are close to us, that are occupied with their own goals. And the thing is that we feel each other less nowadays, and the question is, how can we meet this need of ours in the best possible way, and why are we so dependent on others? To begin with, this is something that we can also see in the still, the vegetative, and the animate world on different levels. But still, we see that no created being, and all the more man, can exist on their own. But that they're exchanging substances, forces with their environment. And besides the environment, suppose like a rock that feels its environment, the environment feels it, and even though that we don't exactly know what's going on there, but there are many forces and systems between the rock and its environment that are integrated in each other, and all the more in the vegetative, which is a world in and of itself, and the extent to which it feels the environment feels it, and they build and determine one another, and to the still and the vegetative connects also the animate world that feeds off the still and the vegetative, and they feed off it, and help each other, even in multiplying, living. Everyone uses everyone. These use those use these, the still, the vegetative, and the animate. There is a very tight connection between them. And comes man that, on the one hand, is a part of the animate world, and that also has to be correctly mutually connected with the still, the vegetative, and the animate. But because of his ego, because he wants to be in control, wants to be in power, to bend all of nature as if to his own benefit. But it doesn't turn out to his own benefit because his ego doesn't exactly see what is and what isn't to his own benefit. And this is how it is. Because man is a part of everything. He's included in everything. And so what follows is that man is not a part of this balanced picture. And he corrupts it. He pushes it out of balance. The still, the vegetative, and the animate, they live in a kind of harmony, even though that there are different conditions in their development and different developmental processes, and there are many other parameters that have to change every time and become integrated in each other. But this is something that comes from above, from nature. But when man comes into the picture and puts his egoistic hands into all of nature, starting to bend it, even though that nature has laws of its own. So when man comes and bends nature according to his own desire, then what follows is that man is to blame for all of the processes that we see, and especially lately, which are destructive processes that eventually destroy nature. And we're already living in an era that we can call the recognition of evil, where we acknowledge that our nature is evil, where we understand that we're destroying our own world, and there's no future for us in this world. And this is something that we're preparing for our children and our grandchildren. And we don't care about that either. Our ego is so individualistic that I don't care about what happens to the next generation. And in two generations, I don't think about that at all. For me, they as if do not exist. I'm living in this world now, only what I have now. They can write in the newspapers whatever they want, talk about what will happen on this planet in 50 years. We'll all die of heat or cold or because of a tsunami or radiation or something. I don't care about nothing. For some reason, it's very hard to understand, but it's not that we're talking about some false prophecies or something. But this is what science says. These are people that are like me and you, and they tell us about the evidence. Yeah? The clear facts that they find in nature, and still we don't want to listen. No one does. I understand that there are parts of mankind, 20, 30%, that don't care. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But there are different levels of development. There are people that are more developed, less developed, people that think, people that care. But no. And it's a wonder. Mothers that have children, that soon will have grandchildren, are not thinking about what will happen to their children. Why aren't they taking to the streets to protest against these governments that are not thinking about the future? They do. But it's true that there is a kind of feeling of helplessness. And even though that man thinks that he can do everything on his own and succeed, but still, we find ourselves in helplessness and the recognition of evil, that we need support. We feel that there is a need for some kind of change, that we need each other, that we won't be able to change anything unless we're together. But still, I want to ask even about the closer circles. Many times a person feels that he experiences all of this stress by himself, but there's no one. Of course, today we're very indifferent, even in the family, compared to how it used to be. We think that in the past, people were cruder, and today we're more sensitive, more gentle as if, subtle. No, in the past, people were more concerned for their children, for their grandchildren. They thought about what's going to happen in 100 and 200 years. Today, no, I don't care what's going to happen in a year. I can see it on myself. People tell me, you know what's going to happen in a year? It doesn't do anything. I don't start shivering, feeling some kind of anxiety. Nothing. Whatever happens, happens. I live my life. I just exist. What actually causes this insensitivity in the family toward other people? We have to reach the recognition of the evil of our egoistic nature that doesn't care about anything. I'm living my life right now. Fine. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't care. I don't have the ability, the strength to think about tomorrow because the real ego is adhered, cleaved on to the moment that it's living in right now. And it doesn't care about the next moment. It doesn't exist for it. And it's hard to believe that we're so deaf, so foolish. But this is how it is. It's interesting. I don't feel this 30, 40, 50 years ago. I remember 50 or 60 years ago, I was a young boy. Things weren't this way. People cared about the future of the world, how are things going to be, this, that. In general, these were years of advancement, development after the Second World War. In America, in Europe, in Japan, people were thinking about the future, putting a man on the moon. We just celebrated the 50th anniversary of that event. But today, okay, from this point where we understand that we have reached a dead end, that we can't come out of ourselves and make things better, how can we draw a better, more correct picture? We can't, because nothing moves us. We're not impressed by anything. It all depends on man's nature. Man has to say, that's it. From this point on, I have to correct the world, myself, do something, so that tomorrow I won't die of cold or heat or tsunami or hurricanes or who knows what. I have to do something. And we're not moving. In regard to mothers and children, I can tell you that things are moving. A few days ago I saw on Facebook where mothers are doing this kind of campaign where they painted their profile picture red to show that they disagree with what's going on in society and kindergartens with abuse and everything. There's a feeling that we can't continue this way anymore. I see that it does touch people, and when it touches their children, they can't keep silent anymore. They do take to the streets, and there is a desire for change. The question is, what kind of relationships should there be between people in order for us to get the necessary support that we need? Look, taking to the streets, protesting, shouting, even breaking showcases. It's interesting if women will ever do this, maybe for the sake of their children, I don't know. But all this will not help at all, because we're demanding of others to take care of this. Until we will take care of it, ourselves, of our children, nothing will happen, no change. Who are we turning to the government? The government has to do it. The government can't place next to every kindergarten teacher a police officer. It's impossible. But all of us are in such a deterioration, increasing of the ego, that we can't rely on anyone, not even on ourselves. And that they went out and protested, and that their mothers and everything, but today they do, and tomorrow they don't. Maybe the reason for not being able to trust ourselves with the eruptions of our ego and anger, it's a result of the lack of correct connection with other people, support. It's precisely because of the lack of connection between us. We're mothers to come together and connect, and would try to change the environment, forming mutual care and concern around the little children, babies, where they all care, that they're all concerned, that they're all connected with one another, and that they connect several times a day. And on the radio, there are different shows about it, and everyone listens, and everyone cares for what's going on in every kindergarten and wherever there are children. The concern itself would bridge all the distances, boundaries, everything. It would change the picture. But this is something that does not exist. They don't feel that they have to connect. But each mom cares only for her own baby, for her own child, and it's not enough. What kind of support should there be around a person so that he can be calm? That we all have the same concern, and that all of us together take care of this mutual problem. Can a person reach a state where he correctly relates to the people around him without this kind of support? Unless I care for other babies besides my own baby, and the others will care the same way for my baby besides their own babies, nothing good will happen. Why? Because there has to be a force here, a special force, a united force, that will influence society. And unless mothers come together, unite, this force does not appear. What's this force that influences society, calms things down, brings us back to balance? The general force of connection, of mutual concern and care. It's not just the sum of forces where a million moms are now thinking about their babies. What then? It's not like 1 plus 1 plus 1 until 1 million. No. It's a connection between them where they have to overcome the indifference. They have to overcome their inner mental distance from one another, and that they want to connect in such a way that our babies will be well off. That everyone will feel that if something happens to some other baby, it's the same as if it happens to my own. And therefore, I make sure that I'm connected to the rest of the mothers, and through them to the rest of the babies. And by this mutual care and concern, we will build the force that will protect us. Only this way. We also know that the reason for all of these problems is that kindergarten teachers can't function properly. They're not to blame, they simply can't. So what kind of support do they need? We, by our connection, will influence them. We will influence them without words, that they too will get more strength to care for the babies, at least not to harm them. What is this force that a person has to receive from the outside in order to have force to do what? What does he have to receive? It's the force of a big society, of a large group, that then swallows each and every individual, each and every mother, swallows her, brings her inside, and this way, women, if they want to, they can change the world. Men can't. Women can. It's like it says, thanks to righteous women, the people of Israel came out of Egypt. Meaning, how did we overcome our ego? How did we come out of our evil inclination, our ego called Pharaoh, in order to rise to the good inclination? That this is actually, to some extent, what we'd like to happen with our babies. This is thanks to righteous women that said, no, we as mothers, as women, demand our justice for our families. We demand connection between mothers, children, for everything to be as one. And there's nothing that can withstand this kind of desire. You talked a lot about concern. You said that naturally a mom cares for a baby, for a child, but in order for change to come, she also has to start caring for children that aren't hers. And so should other mothers too. Because if I don't care for other mothers, I'm a mother. If I don't care for other mothers and their babies, I do not accumulate the force that will influence myself and my baby. What kind of force is that? That's accumulated by my care for a baby that's not necessarily mine. The force of connection, of unity, it's a very strong upper force. Actually, thanks to this force, I want to influence the kindergarten teacher, her aide, and my baby that's in their hands. Precisely by caring for all the babies and all the mothers. But what's the connection? That's the connection. That if I care for them, then by that, I create a general force that consists of many mothers that care for many babies that will also influence my baby. Why does caring for my baby not generate that force that influences things for the better? It's not enough. It's a single egoistic force. And you see, that single egoistic force also pushes a kindergarten teacher to hit a child, to do something to him, to harm him. By using this egoistic force, you also support the kindergarten teacher for her to be egoistic too, for her to continue doing what she's doing. She can't overcome her evil. This is the era that we're living in. I just want to pass my feeling on to you, that only if I have this basic need, and I care for other mothers and their babies in general, and this is where my heart is, I'm talking on part of the mother, on part of a woman. By this I generate one great big force that will all in all influence my baby's kindergarten teacher, and by this I promise that everything will be fine with my baby and that no one will harm him. But only this way. If I form, accumulate this general force of mothers caring for babies, that they'll be together, a million mothers caring for a million babies, then for sure it's a sufficient force in order to protect my baby too. If I care only for my baby, then by that I increase the egoistic force, and then my kindergarten teacher as a result becomes more egoistic, individualistic, thinking only about her own well-being, her own comfort, and not about my baby, and then she can harm him. Why? Because I was concerned only with myself. So, to the contrary of what we think, we live in a field of forces, and each of us influences the way that these forces will be expressed in society. Meaning that by thinking only about myself, then this is the force that I increase in this field, in this system. And if I think about others, I'm concerned with them, then this is the force that I increase in this field. Meaning we lack the feeling that we live in a field of forces, that what I do influences some kindergarten teacher out there. So what are we supposed to do? You have to go out and explain these things. Mothers should go out and explain about this force, that the only way that we can care for our children, for our babies, is on condition that we connect. And as a result of our connection, we will be able to protect our babies, but only out of our connection. Because our connection is above the particular individual ego of each and every one of us, it will not allow the egoistic force in any kindergarten teacher to erupt and harm any baby. So it's a kind of network of thoughts, desires. What is that? Of course, a network of connections between all mothers, of mutual concern and care. Up until now, we talked about mothers that naturally care for their own baby. Can it also teach us about our other connections in life? What can we learn from this very basic and natural example where a person's concerned for what's his? What can we learn from this about relationships in general? You can learn from it just one thing, that connection is a tremendous force that always succeeds. Like it says that you can't destroy a dissolute city. What do you mean? That if we have a city of criminals, wicked, but they're connected in that city, you can't break down the walls of the city and conquer it. You can't, because there's a connection between them. They're devoted to one another. What turns connection into such a strong force? Because it's opposite the one force, which is the upper force, the force of the Creator, the force of nature. When you make yourself like that one force, you as if get from there nourishment, connection. It increases your forces. And especially when egoists connect for a mutual goal, and that this goal is more precious to them than the convenience of each and every one of them, then it's a tremendous force. It can really break down all walls. And therefore, nothing can help. I'm telling you, about the future, we'll have big problems with children, with soldiers, with all those that we can protect only if we connect. In order to teach us that only by connection can the people of Israel, can the Jewish people be saved. Because otherwise, we're living here at the expense of the future. I want to conclude with a final question. If we want to provide support to each other, If we start turning our care and concern from those places that it's naturally directed at, my children, my business, my this, my that, if I start taking my care and concern, redirecting it toward what I usually naturally don't care about, do we make room for some new force by this shift? The upper force. It's called one receives the one. That then the upper force that we generate between us, this mutual force, it gets support from above, a projection from above that comes from the general force of nature called the Creator. And then we get such great force and support that we're capable of being saved from all problems. All problems? Everything. You receive the upper force into your hands just by annulling your individual ego, where I care only for what's mine. Right. And what do I shift to? To a general concern. Even if it's egoistic, for the babies. You'll see how much it works. And there are further means, there are more options and ways of how to use this general force in order to elevate the nation and the country and the entire world to higher and higher degrees. This was amazing. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tal. You want to add? Let's start with mothers. Mothers, good luck. We're with you. Till next time, we wish you all the best.
When you don't understand what you read. Question from Facebook, how can you attract the upper light if you don't understand what you read? Who needs the book of Zohar, which, in your words, is not given for understanding? Answer, Kabbalistic books have been given so that reading and not even understanding anything in them, we would strive for good, eternity, love, bestowal, the upper light, and ask him to make us like that. It's actually good that you don't understand anything. Your brain is then unoccupied with what is written in the book, but with asking to make yourself good, eternal, upper, bestowing to and loving of everyone. When you will become like that, you will begin to understand everything else. From Cab TV's Answers to Questions from Facebook, March 10, 2019.